Something that I think actually can help is if you take a little piece of note paper, where you can take a note or two during the meditation just to help keep yourself concentrated, if you get a little insight, so you can set that aside. Okay. So now, bring to mind the problematic behavior that comes up for you. What's the symptom in your life that's the problem? Take a minute to find that. So again, bring the symptom to mind and let it play out in the mind. This is already an imaginal exercise. See the scenes where you're acting in accord with your symptom. Now go ahead and name this symptom. How would you name this symptom? And now also really notice what the mind feels like when you're in the grips of this symptom. What are the thoughts, mental images, auditory thoughts that arise when you're in the grips of the symptom? And now bring the symptom up again and notice what the body's like. What's the body like when you're in the grips of the symptom? Okay. And this next piece is about mentalizing or a metacognitive exercise for understanding the causal unfoldings when we've gotten in the symptom. You shouldn't feel shamed about this. We're just looking at the consequences. So now, note, oh yeah, I get into this mode or I get into this symptom, and then this has this effect on my life. There's this causal unfolding that happens once I've gotten into this symptom or mode. But go ahead and study that like an anthropologist. No shame, no judgment, just interest. What unfolds once you get into this symptom? There's a set of behaviors and patterns thought, even body tensions, also styles of relating with others that unfold. And also actually rejoice in seeing all of this. You're developing wisdom. This is a very good thing. Don't feel bad about any of this. Totally okay. And now we're going to do the same exercise, but narrowing it down to four different areas of our life. So, okay, once I've gotten into this mode or symptom, there's a certain pattern that happens in my work life. What is that? What does my work life look like when I've gotten into this mode? And see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Just see it as it is. Also notice this drivenness, like there's this drivenness of your symptom. This kind of narrow-mindedness and you're driven, you're kind of obsessive. Just notice that. Okay. And now let's move on to understanding what our social life looks like after we've gotten into this symptom or mode. So this part of us is engaged. And then when that happens, there's a pattern that unfolds in our social life. Go ahead and see that now. What's that like? And just see this clearly. There's nothing wrong with the way that you're behaving. You're absolutely doing your best, but it's important just to see this and study it. Okay. And now look at your internal, like, look at the effects of getting into this mode or having this symptom, the effects on your internal life, like your own personal psychology. What does this do to your internal psychology? So you get into the mode, and then there's, once again, this kind of these patterns of mind that unfold. Go ahead and study that now, again, with interest. Just see all of this clearly. And now let's move on. What does this do? What does getting into this symptom, getting into this mode do to your personal explorations? Does it have a particular effect on your personal explorations? And it might help them. We don't know. We just want to find out. Okay. So now we'll do another inquiry. Imagine that you couldn't behave this way. For some reason, you just were not able to engage this behavior. Why would that be a problem? And this is, there's not any pressure. We're not saying, oh, you shouldn't engage this way. No, it's fine. But just imagine symptom deprivation. You can't behave this way. And probably some sort of other problem would arise. And then see how this way of behaving prevents that other problem. When we do this symptom deprivation exercise, it helps us see how our symptom is necessary because it helps us likely avoid an even greater suffering. So go ahead and see that now. You might notice, like, oh, geez, cringe. Like, no way, this would be even worse. Like, oh, and see, and again, see how your symptom is necessary. So now, look back. Where does this belief come from? Or rather, I'm sorry, what is the belief that drives this symptom or this coping mode? Also, it might be helpful to think in terms of a critical internalized voice, a vulnerable child, and then a coping mode, possibly of avoidance, overcompensation, and surrender. Again, what's the belief that underlies this, that makes this behavior necessary? Now, notice how once again the mode or the symptom helps you deal with the belief as an outcome of the belief. It's pretty obvious, right? Here's another inquiry. What would have to change in order for it to be painless to let go of this symptom? What would have to change? What would the world have to be like in order for this symptom to no longer be necessary? Good. And now let's go back to the belief. So there's this negative belief that underpins the symptom and makes the symptom reasonably and understandably necessary. So go back to that belief. Where did you learn that belief? Now go ahead and float back to childhood or some earlier time in life. And let a situation arise where you were taught that belief. Go ahead and study that scene. Notice how it's completely reasonable that you learned this lesson from that incident. This was the lesson that you needed to learn. And just see that clearly. Totally accept that. Of course you learned the lesson. Now come into the scene. Allow yourself also to be triggered. Notice where you are, who you're with, the feelings in the body. Notice the belief, how the belief is very strong. And also see the real suffering that you experienced. And now imagine that the perfect nurturers, these are just imaginary figures that are parental and perfectly attuned to you. Imagine that these perfect nurturers come into the scene and remove you from the scene. And now they tend to you. They meet your needs in just the right way. You're totally safe with them. You're totally seen and known. They know you're not to blame. They also know you're going to move through this just fine. And they delight in comforting you and soothing you. So go ahead and develop that scene now. Right, keep developing the scene. Shape and reshape it in such a way to get your needs met just perfectly. That's right. Keep going. See how they really get what your needs were. Rather, what your needs are. See how you feel totally seen and known. Of course, you're understood. They see that that there was real suffering. They see that you had to adapt. But all of that's over now. Keep developing the scene. That's right. Keep going. Keep soothing you, supporting you in just the right way. They really get it. And now also notice how the way that these perfect nurturers are treating you now actually disconfirms your expectation. It disconfirms this belief. The original belief of yours. Shape and reshape the scene in such a way to see how this disconfirms this old negative belief of yours. And also, it can be good to have a dialogue between you and the perfect nurturers. You can explain yourself. You can explain how frustrating all this was. How you felt like your needs weren't getting met. And they respond in just such a way to really help you feel seen. And comforted. Also, it's very clear that you were making the very best out of a difficult situation. You responded the right way to a difficult situation. And the perfect nurturers see that entirely, but they also know, oh yeah, this is in the past. You can also see how, yes, this is in fact in the past now. It still has an impact, but it's in the past, and you can take in more information now. Contradictory information about life, because the mind is broad and open. You have all this good support now. Right, keep shaping and reshaping the scene. And now notice how the way that you're being treated right now by the perfect nurturers disconfirms this old negative belief of yours. It shows you a new way forward in life. Really take that in. Also notice how the perfect nurturers being with you is a joy for them. You're such a delight to be with, and they're really happy to help you move through this. Go ahead and take that in as well. That's right, shaping and reshaping the scene. And now let's have you, the perfect nurturers, float back to this original scene. And now we're going to redo the scene. There's going to be a corrective action taken, and the scene is going to go well. And this is completely imaginary. So we're re-scripting the past. We go back to the scene and have it unfold in a way where everything goes perfect, and the lessons that actually are more adaptive in life, you learn those instead of these old crappy toxic lessons. It could involve confrontation. This could involve just a simple rescripting. Follow your instincts. That's right, keep going. And now at this juncture, see how your old belief is being disconfirmed. See how this new scene being as it's unfolding, it's disconfirming this old belief. See that clearly now. That's right, keep going. And now, let's have you and the perfect nurturer step away from the scene, but then observe the scene from afar. Notice how you have a new perspective on things. Notice how you can take in the lessons that were learned in the original scene, but there are other lessons to be learned as well. And you view this from a broader context now. Broader perspective. That's right. See how there are other possibilities now. You can really see that now. And now start floating back to the present with the perfect nurturer. And now you get another insight about what all this meant and how there are new possibilities. And now you've floated back to the present. Now, if you need to be soothed a bit more by the perfect nurturers, or if you want to have a brief dialogue with them, discuss this, we can do that now. And now we're going to try to do something that's impossible, but just try. So now hold this negative belief in mind at the same time that you hold in mind all the disconfirming information, the disconfirming belief. You kind of just switch between the two, but you're trying to hold them in mind at the same time. And this is impossible, but this helps with memory reconsolidation. Now strongly, strongly reinforce the positive. Okay, good. Okay, so now let's go back to our original symptom. Now notice how the level of drivenness is less. Notice how you can more easily imagine an alternative way of living, a way of living that's less driven, that's more balanced, that's more responsive to reality as it is, instead of driven by these reactive habit patterns. Less dogmatic. Notice how this critical voice that's usually in your head, kind of possibly beating down on the vulnerable child, that it's less or possibly even absent. Notice how without this negative belief being kind of shouted at your vulnerable child part, that you're just at greater ease. And that now notice how the symptom that you identified earlier is just not as necessary anymore. It's like, oh, you know what? Maybe I'm just not going to do this. See that now. Study the cause and effect relationship. And now given that there's some liberation, we've actually achieved some liberation here. Now see your whole life unfold in a way that's consistent with this newfound liberation, that's consistent with this new, more balanced, circumspect, and positive set of beliefs. Go ahead and see your life unfold that way now. And first focus on social, and then we'll look at exploration. See all the positive unfoldings in the social sphere for you. See all of that unfold. See how you're tapping into connection that you didn't even know was there to be had. See how others delight in you, how others understand you, are there for you, support you. And see how you delight in them, you understand them. That connection is so easy and fluent. Really see that clearly now. And what a relief. Really take this in. Also notice how you can be authentic. You can be at ease. And all this just flows naturally. And now, let's look at your explorations. See how your explorations look totally different now. So much easier to do them. You have a more secure base. You have all these positive beliefs. You're not being held back by all these negative beliefs. And your explorations can really be authentic, really be what you want. Go ahead and see that now. See that clearly. Feels like a breath of fresh air. Feel how your childlike wonder about the world is restored. How wonderful. And now make a deep, deep impression. This is what you expect from life now. Now, this isn't Pollyanna. You can also see negative parts, negative aspects of life, but you're just not stuck in them anymore. That's the difference. That's the difference. Okay, and now from this place of greater emotional regulation, ease, and generally broader, more circumspect purview on life, go back to this part or this symptom, this mode that was driving you before. And kind of greet that part. Say, oh, hey, old friend. You've really helped me out. Thank you for all your hard work. And I might still need you. And we might still do this dance where you assert yourself, and that's okay. But I see you, I know you. I also know what you're about. And I know that there's no shame in your behaviors. This is just, you're just helping me cope. And emotionally regulate. And now go back to the critical parent voice or inner critic that tells you this negative belief that we identified earlier. And same thing, it's like, oh, hey, I know what caused you. I know why you're there. You helped me adapt to a difficult situation. There's no shame in you either. I see you. I appreciate what the service that you've rendered. And then now look at your vulnerable child part. You can let your vulnerable child part know that you'll always take care of it. It's okay to be upset. Okay, for the next 30 seconds, just in a kind of freestyle way, look back at this whole meditation. What did you learn? What was this like for you? Okay, good. Make a deep impression of that. Now I'll count from 5 to 1, and when I get to 1, you'll be awake and present in the scene. In the room, rather, settled in the experience. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Awake and present in the room, settled in the experience. Okay.